You are Locked On Orioles, your daily podcast on the Baltimore Orioles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey guys, welcome back to Locked On Orioles. As always, I'm your host, Justin McGuire. If you're not familiar with the podcast, I am the former Major League Baseball editor for Sporting News. I'm a former Cy Young and Rookie of the Year voter, and I'm a lifelong Orioles fan. Well, guys, today we are joined by Matt Kremnitzer of The Athletic Baltimore. He's a frequent guest on the podcast, and he and I are going to give our initial impressions of the Mike Elias press conference, which happened Monday. We'll get to that in just a second, but first, here's a clip from that press conference.
But I was also particularly drawn to this because I think very uniquely this organization has in its history and in its DNA, having at one time been considered as the smartest, most forward-thinking, most progressive organization in baseball. And the fact that that has been the case here before means that it's possible for that to be the case here again. We are here to restore that reputation. We're going to work towards that. The plan is simple. We're going to build an elite talent pipeline. It's going to extend from the lowest rung of our minor league ladder, the Dominican Summer League, all the way up through AAA and onto the major league roster here in Baltimore. In order to do that, we're going to embark on a large, multi-pronged effort across every corner of baseball operations, but particularly touching the areas that include scouting, domestic scouting, international scouting, player development, coaching, and an analytics support system to inform and improve our processes and decisions across all of those areas.
Hey everybody, we're back. We are joined now by Matt Kremnitzer. He writes about the Orioles for The Athletic Baltimore. He's been a guest on the podcast several times. And Matt, I want to talk just quickly to you about Mike Elias, the Orioles' new general manager. As we record this on Tuesday, 24 hours ago or so, the Orioles had their press conference at which they announced Mike Elias was going to be the new general manager. I was actually recording another podcast at the time and didn't have a chance to watch it live, but I went back and watched it on YouTube. Did you get a chance to watch the press conference?
Yeah, I watched most of it. I didn't watch, you know, the entire thing, but I did get a chance to see most of his comments.
All right, well, I just wanted to get your initial impressions. This is really the first time as Orioles fans we got to see Mike Elias up close. He's a guy who's been more of a behind-the-scenes kind of guy with the Astros, so I think it's fair to say a lot of us didn't know much about him. What were your initial impressions of him during that press conference?
Yeah, this was the first time I've really, you know, heard him say anything for more than, you know, a few seconds. I saw his introduction video before the press conference yesterday. I was pleased. He didn't say anything that I thought was dumb or that the team shouldn't be doing. He mentioned how the team needs to improve pretty much all aspects of the organization, but he was, specifically focused on, I think he said an elite pipeline of talent or something like that, coming from the minors. The Orioles need to get more talent. They need to, explore all angles, in terms of, you know, adding international players. And that's something as he has with a scouting foundation. And he touched on all those things during the press conference, and I thought it went well. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I've been ecstatic about this decision since Bob Nightingale first reported it last week. I don't know a ton about Elias, but I had read Ben Reiter's book Astro Ball about the Astros, so I had read a little bit about him in there. And just knew that, you know, obviously, like any baseball fan, I know how successful the Astros have been in building from nothing basically into a World Series team, and how they have focused on both analytics and player development. And I think one of the things, the real strong points of the Astros has been a combination of those two things, right? They're not like an either or kind of team. They understand that those two things have to work together. So I was ecstatic when I first heard that it was going to be a guy who was a key member of the Astros front office. And then when I watched the press conference yesterday, yeah, I'm with you. He certainly said all the right things. I mean, you can't be disappointed with anything he said. I mean, he'd had a few whoppers where he talked about how the Orioles have a lot of talent on hand already, which we know isn't true. Especially at the major league level, we know there's not a whole lot of talent. And even the minor leagues, it's more than it was a year ago. It's still, you know, we know there still have a ways to go. But yeah, he talked about, player development, international scouting. I think we were all very happy to hear him say that they're going to be beefing up that department. He didn't address the Sig Maydahl question directly, but if you read between the lines, it's pretty clear that that's a strong possibility that Sig Maydahl is going to be the Orioles, the guy in charge of building up their analytics department, and that's something that I think we all have to be positive about. So yeah, I had very positive feelings about him. I thought he did a good job in the press conference. I like the fact that he wasn't overly slick, you know what I mean? It's like he's clearly a guy who is used to getting the job done, but he's not necessarily a blowhard who's out there selling himself, which is, I think, what sometimes you see in these front-facing positions, you know, guys who may be more sizzle than steak, so to speak. And I don't get that impression about him at all.
Yeah, I could tell from his comments that he was putting some thought into it, and that he really still does have some decisions to make. I'm sure he knows in terms of some people that they're going to keep and that they're not going to keep. And, you know, during the press conference, there was still the question of Brady Anderson and what's his role going to be. And it wasn't really addressed to anyone's satisfaction, I guess. It seems like he's still going to play some kind of role, but we're not really sure. We don't know if Elias is going to be able to say, he has to go or anything like that, or if it's, Brady Anderson definitely has to stay. So that's something that's going to have to be figured out. But just with his familiarity with the international market, he talked about that and how they would, get on the ground running with the money that they still have to spend. I mean, that's good, whether they end up trading it to another team that's going to use it or they put some of it to use. He's definitely familiar with the market and just doing all of the things that that many fans have wanted this organization to do for a while, even just something as basic as being a good communicator. Because that's something that Dan Duquette wasn't really. He was more awkward in these kind of environments, and he was standoffish with some of the coaches, I guess, and with some of the media members if they questioned him on things he didn't want to talk about. So I think just having someone like Elias in that role, even if he just does those basic things and starts from the level of, hey, everything in this organization has to improve, we have to get more talent, period, I think that's a good place to start, and we're going to see what he does.
Yeah, so I think it's pretty clear that this was a home run of a hire, so to speak, to use a baseball cliche. But I haven't seen anybody, either Orioles fans or non-Orioles fans, who don't think Mike Elias is a great hire, who don't think that this is a good sign for where the team is heading. The question, though, is, as it always is with the Orioles, is ownership, right? We know Mike Elias is a good baseball guy, and we know, left to his own devices, he's likely to get the Orioles heading in the right direction over the next several seasons. The question always is he going to be left to his own devices? We know we've been through this before. I think it was your old colleague, John Shepherd, who tweeted out some stuff about the Frank Wren press conference when he was hired to be the Orioles GM 20 years ago. And a lot of the right things were said at the time. And of course, it didn't turn out to be such a successful tenure for him. So the question is, let's go back to this press conference. We saw the DeAngelos brothers, John and Louis Angelos, talking about this decision. They're the ones who made it. They're the ones who went through this process. What were your feelings about them? I mean, obviously, this is for public consumption. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. But do you feel like they're sending the right messages? Do you feel like they're really going to be the hands-off kind of owners that we'd hope they would be?
I'm hoping so. I mean, everything, first looking at the search, it took longer than fans probably wanted, but I do think they ended up with the right guy, like you said. I think Rock Cabaco talked recently that for a while, Ned Colletti was the guy who was in charge, not in charge, but the guy who was the lead candidate in the search. And then, at some point, Elias took over. And I think that's great in terms of where the organization needs to go. Just not making the search a circus, the sense of they got, maybe the perfect fit, any as close to it as you can get. It seems like Elias fits what this organization really needs. In terms of the press conference, John was definitely more comfortable in this environment. So sort of, I wouldn't say holding court, but he did take more of the comments than Lewis did, and he looked more comfortable in this environment. Does that mean, do I think they're going to be more open to the press? I don't know, but it does seem like they do want to kind of stay in the background and let Elias do his thing. And it was good to hear what they had to say about the Masson money in terms of it won't be whatever the decision ends up being in that court case. It won't have a huge effect on the team. There's going to be enough payroll and how Elias makes the budget, however he wants to allocate that money. So that was a good thing to hear. But, like you said, talk is cheap. Are they actually going to stay on the sidelines and let Elias do his thing and however he envisions this going, is he going to have that capability? I hope that he does. And, in terms of right now, it looks like it's a good situation, but it could be different next year too.
Hey, one thing I thought was interesting about the press conference was that several reporters tried to pin him down on this idea of what is the timetable? How many years are we looking at? And he basically refused to answer that. He said, something to the effect of, we're going to be as competitive as soon as possible. We're going to, we're going to try to do it as quickly as we can. He also said, of course, there are no shortcuts. So I think those things are not necessarily contradictory, but I guess the question is to me, that's a conversation that he has had with the ownership group, right? He has told them, this is how long I think it's going to take. And I'm sure that he had in his PowerPoint presentation, he had a breakdown of where, when things are going to happen, when he expects things to happen. The fact that they're not talking about that publicly is interesting, at least yet. What is your thought process? I mean, realistically, people compare this team to the Astros, but I think if you look at the Astros, when they were having all those 100 lost seasons, they already had Jose Altuve in the farm system. I think they already had Dallas Keuchel, a few other of these players who ended up being key to their World Series winning team. I don't know that the Orioles have a Jose Altuve. I don't know that there's much talent in the farm system that's going to have a big impact. So maybe their time frame is a little bit longer than the Astros. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm sure that he gave them some kind of 3 or 5 year plan. I mean, I'm not surprised that he wouldn't say that specifically to the press. I also don't think he answered the question about how long his contract is. I'm sure we'll know at some point, but we don't know if he has a 3-year deal, a 5-year deal. I don't know. I guess it depends on what you think of some of their top prospects, Diaz, Mountcastle, Hall, Hayes, some other guys, and also what they end up doing in the upcoming draft where they have the number one pick. I certainly don't think it's going to be any kind of quick fix. They'd have to hit on, pretty much all of their prospects for anything to go right. In maybe even 2 years, I'm sure we're looking at a 3 or 5 year thing. And that's probably for the best, because that way, we're knowing how they're going to draft. We're knowing what they're going to do. We'll know by then which players they're bringing in from the international market, how much they're spending. And we'll be able to see if they're taking this seriously, like they say they're going to be. And now they're going to have full autonomy, how Elias is going to have full autonomy. So if you're asking me, of course, there's no quick fix. And I'm sure that he knows that, too. But strange things do happen.
Yeah, I was thinking about this today. I think it was Camden Chat actually had like a poll, a reader poll, like how long do you think it'll be before the Orioles are realistically in pennant contention again, or, playoff contention again, something to that effect. And I was sort of thinking about this as they're breaking it down, like, if things go well in this rebuild, right, if Elias is allowed to do his thing, ownership doesn't interfere, they're patient. I mean, we know they're not contending in 2019. They're not contending in 2020, right? So maybe by 2021, they're back to respectability, meaning maybe they flirt with 500, and then they're contending for a division or a wild card by 2022. That's kind of, in my mind, like the best case scenario. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. I can't make any realistic case for the next 2 years. And I think 3 or 4 years out, I think that's a good time frame.
Yeah, so I think that's realistically what we're looking at as fans, and it's going to take patience. And I know that patience is not a great thing for fans, because 3 years, 5 years, whatever, seems like a long time in baseball terms. It's a lot of games. It's potentially a lot of losing. But I think if we look again, go that example of the Astros, what they went through, and how bleak things looked for them not so long ago. I think you have to sort of have that in mind and look at the long term, because there's no, like he said yesterday, there's no quick fix. That anything short of a 3 to 5 year plan just doesn't make any sense given the talent level of this organization right now. It's not like they have a bunch of top prospects ready to hit the majors in the next 2 years. I mean, there's no reason to be optimistic about this team contending before that window. So might as well, one of the philosophies the Astros had, Jeff Luhnow had, was that in a few years, fans aren't going to remember whether we lost 90 games or 105. It's not going to make any difference once we're not going to worry about the seasons in which we know we're going to be terrible. And I think that's the attitude Orioles fans are going to have. And that's not an easy thing to do.
No, you're right. I mean, there's nothing that's fun about watching a team that just lost 115 games or even anything close to it, and just having it be inevitable. You have to hope for the little things, like, maybe a couple players end up being better than you thought they would. Maybe Austin Hayes is able to stay healthy, and if he's on the team next year, he does better than you think he will. It's just little things like that as they build the rest of the organization and get a better base to start from. So instead of just worrying about a handful of players, you're like, well, there's this group of players, and if one of them is bad, it's not the end of the world. You're constantly adding more talent to the minor league system, which this team just hasn't done. They've, made the decision to push more of their money towards the major league payroll. And, for a few years, it definitely worked, but it's all over now. Manny Machado's gone, and a lot of their best players are gone, and they do need to start over. But it does seem like they're addressing it in a serious way. And this hire definitely seems like they're ready to do a lot of the things that they haven't been doing for a while. So I hope that's the case.
All right, so we know there's a lot of questions facing Mike Elias. I mean, there's more things to do on his list than any general manager who's been hired this offseason. And the Orioles probably have more work to do than any organization in baseball. I mean, they did lose 115 games last year. So, but the top of the list, I think, has got to be hiring a manager, right? I mean, we know there's other organizational things he needs to do, but you need a guy who's going to be in charge on the field. And that's something that I would think they would want to get settled relatively quickly. I don't think he's going to do it this week or anything, but probably they don't want to wait. They don't want to get into Christmas with that. So what are I've seen a few different things. And then Ken Rosenthal reported that he's hearing Elias is more likely to want to go with a veteran manager, knowing that this team is going to be terrible for a few years and not wanting to have a first-year manager have to deal with that, right? They want somebody who's got some experience and isn't going to have their career ruined by starting out with a team this bad.
Right.
I think there's been speculation about a number of like coaches and former players and things, but if they do go with a former player, do you think that's the right way? I mean, I'm sorry, if they do go with an experienced manager, do you think that is the way to go at this point?
It's not a bad idea. One name that I kept seeing before Rosenthal's piece was Joe Espada, one of the coaches on the Astros. But again, like you said, that would be a first-year manager. Do you want to saddle someone with almost certainty that they're going to lose 95, 100-plus games their first couple years? Do you really want to have a first-year manager go through that with a young group of players? I mean, I could go either way on that. I'm not really sure what the best way to do it. If you think that guy is the one guy who's going to be able to ride that out, and you want to get him before another team does, then maybe you go that route. If you think he's a good communicator, if you think he's going to work with you and on the things that you want to do analytically or whatever strategic things that the team wants to deploy, then maybe you go after that guy. But if you know the first few years are going to be rough, and if you don't want to saddle that young, not necessarily the young guy, but the first year guy with all of those losses, then maybe you go a different route. I don't have any names at this point. Have you seen any of those veteran managers discussed yet? I don't have a
yeah,
good list.
I saw it was CBS Sports had a thing this morning, I think it was, where they speculated, and they were purely speculating. They hadn't heard any of these names specifically tied to the Orioles, but there were some names on there, like Bo Porter, who obviously went through this with the Astros. He was a guy who went through several hundred last seasons with the Astros. I think they had, I'm trying to think of some of the other names they had on there. John Gibbons was one of the names. There were a few others of guys like that, guys who are former major league managers, but aren't necessarily the big names, not in the Joe Girardis of the world, but guys who maybe are a little less high profile. And they seem to think that something like that might make sense given the Orioles situation. I don't know how to think about it. I've said this on the podcast several times that in some ways I feel like this, whoever they hire as a manager now is not going to be the manager when they're good again, because that just seems to be how it goes with these rebuilds. Is you get a guy who unfortunately has to come in and suffer through the terrible years, and then he's gone by the time the winning starts. We saw that with the Astros, we saw that with the Cubs, we've seen it with other organizations in the past. So in some ways, I'm not sure how crucial this decision is, but I do think clearly you want somebody who is good at working with young players, because there's got a lot of young players going to be playing for the Orioles over the next few years. And then somebody who buys into whatever the philosophy of the front office is, whether you want to call that analytics or, you know, the combination of analytics and player development, whatever you want to describe as Mike Elias's philosophy, you want somebody who buys into that so that they're teaching the same things to the players that the front office is preaching, and that that reaches all the way down to the minor league levels as well when you're hiring your minor league managers and coaches and instructors. Because I think that's one of the things the Orioles really need to do is get this philosophy system-wide so that everybody is singing off the same page. And I think that's one thing they've really been lacking in recent years.
Yeah, there's no question that they need to do that. And I think what you don't want is the situation like where Showalter and Duquette, where things were combative. They would occasionally take shots at each other. They weren't on the same page. It worked for a while. They were able to make things work, and I still don't know how they really did it. But they were able to do it. But, you know, now Elias gets to pick his manager. So hopefully, whether it's a veteran guy, whether it's a first-year guy, they will hopefully be on the same page and agree. They will have to be able to work with young players. And every level of the organization should be on the same page in terms of what they're looking to do and everything like that. So it should be interesting to see who they hire, because somehow Mike Bordick keeps getting his name mentioned, and I'm not really sure whether it's just like a favor or something, because it's just kind of random, but I don't think he's honestly in any kind of running to get the job.
Yeah, I puzzle about that one myself. I mean, first of all, he said back in the season there was some speculation. He came out and said, no, I'm not interested in managing. So that there's that. There's the fact that based on, you know, his announcing, I'm not sure he's necessarily the guy for Mike Elias-led team. You know what I mean? I don't know that he has a very well thought out philosophy about how baseball games are won and lost. Just to be honest about it. And, you know, I think his name just gets thrown around because so many teams in recent years have hired former players with no managerial experience. And he's a guy who's obviously been around the Orioles, is friendly with the ownership, is a guy who kind of a Orioles lifer at this point. I think that that's just sort of speculation. Hey, what kind of former player would it be if the Orioles went that route? And that's just sort of a name that keeps going up.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know if someone like that is a good choice for a team that's going to be so bad at the beginning. You'd probably rather have someone who's a veteran or at least has been a coach at the major league level and who will be able to teach more things and will be able to deal with adversity. You know, things are going to go wrong. They're going to lose a lot of games. You're going to have someone who can deal with that. I don't know. It's a good question. Are they going to go with a first-year guy or are they going to go with a veteran manager? I'm honestly not sure, and I wonder if Elias knows too.
Yeah, I'm sure he has some ideas, but I suspect he probably hasn't made a decision yet. He's going to kind of go through a lot of things. And like we said, he has a lot of decisions to make. He's got a lot of stuff on his plate, and they really need to kind of start from scratch in terms of player development, in terms of analytics and all these things. And that's one of the reasons that I think people are very excited about the idea of Sig Madel coming in. If he does, it's that Elias can kind of just allow him to do the analytics, you know, build up the analytics and not have to worry about that himself. You know, he knows he has somebody who knows how to do it in charge, and he can kind of farm that responsibility off, if that makes sense. All right. Well, Matt, thanks for joining us. I think both of us are on the same page that this is an exciting hire for the Orioles. And I mean, honestly, probably as good a job as they could have done in this hire. And, you know, we'll talk again during the off season, and we'll see what they do in terms of the managers. But we know we got a few years of losing ahead of us, but hopefully they're on the road now to getting to back to contention sometime in my lifetime.
Yeah, I think most fans would agree they want to see what he can do. They want the owners to be hands off when it comes to baseball decisions, and any way that they can add in talent to the farm system just to get better. Like he said, get that pipeline going. I mean, that sounds perfect. Whether it happens or not, we'll find out. But, you know, just from a first, you know, having been 24 hours since he had the press conference, it's a good time. It's a time to be excited, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. The first time in a long time, at least probably since 2016, it's a time for Orioles fans to be excited. All right, Matt, well, thanks a lot. As always, I appreciate you coming on.
No problem. Thank you.
And that's going to do it for another edition of Locked On Orioles. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.